looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polititalk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right. Thursday night right here in the Christian Polititalk studios. Happy Monday Thursday, everyone. Not Monday Thursday, but Monday Thursday. And I'll explain a little bit about what Monday Thursday means in just a few minutes.
Or Holy Thursday.
Or Holy Thursday, yep. So, welcome everybody on this Thursday of Holy Week, right before Easter rolling in. I know last week I said we were going to talk about friends and neighbors and enemies, but something more pressing, you know, more pressing is going on, and I got another topic we need to talk about. You got something to start us out over there?
You know I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Well, hello again. Tonight's devotional is called God's Will and Ours. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? That's from Luke 6:46. It has been said of Judas Iscariot that he never called Jesus Lord. He merely referenced him as a teacher. John 12:6 also says that Judas stole from the collection bag. He had been trusted as the disciples' treasurer, yet he ruthlessly stole money from their savings. He was a thief and a hypocrite. When we convert to Christ, God's will becomes ours. We call Jesus Lord, not only because he is the Lord of creation, but because he is a Lord over our lives, and we are responsible to him for every thought, word, and deed. However, there are many who profess godliness, but deny him by their works. They will be part of the great multitude that will cry out to Jesus on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, and hear the terrifying words, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who would practice lawlessness. That's from Matthew 7:21-23. Such thoughts should put the fear of God in each of us, which is the beginning of wisdom. The soul search is Jesus Lord over everything in my life? What areas do I need to surrender? And the prayer is, Father, today I give my all to you.
Very good, very good.
I was kind of hoping there would be something a little bit more Easter-y.
Easter-y.
Yeah, but I didn't really see anything. So, you know, since Judas is kind of the villain of Easter, I figured that might be a good reading to do.
Well, yeah. You know, a couple minutes ago at the beginning, I was saying happy Monday, Thursday. And a lot of people don't know what Monday Thursday is. Monday Thursday is the Thursday before Easter, also known as Holy Thursday.
Yes.
Monday is derived from the Latin word for command and refers to Jesus' commandment to the disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Monday Thursday commemorates the Last Supper, which Christians consider the institution of the Holy Eucharist, also known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion. It's described in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22. At the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus breaks bread saying, this is my body, and pours wine saying, this is my blood. He then asks the disciples to do this in remembrance of me. So, you know, that's what Monday Thursday is about. And, you know, this week we are kind of on a topic that really asks a question. What if Easter didn't exist? And that actually was talked about in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul takes us down that trip. So a little bit later on in the show, we're gonna talk about that. Mary Beth got a little preview of some of that the other day, and
I sure did,
and it was kind of all sparked up by a comment by one of our smallies, well, not smallie,
our
middle Smalley.
Our middle Smalley, yes.
But, you know.
In all his glory of being 15 and knowing everything.
You know, he made a comment that a lot of his friends and his friends' families don't believe in God. They don't, quote unquote, buy into it. So.
Well, I think what he was saying was that he feels like his generation is moving further away from the Bible and its teachings. You know, that they are, somehow he thinks that's very different than any other generation. And I think that's just, a lot of that has to do with the age.
Yeah.
And, you know, starting to kind of, you know, while they're questioning who they are, you know, they're questioning who everybody else is too.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that that in itself would be a great topic to discuss at another time. You know, just how exactly do our children view religion and Christianity?
Right. Well, you know, it's one of those things that we've always got to remember, you know, there are people that have differing opinions about everything and any and everything that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to express to him, and just like we were talking the other night, he tried to come up with a thing that, well, when we grew up, times were different and times are different now.
Right.
And my statement to him was, well, you know, there were parents upon parents upon parents with kids saying, well, times are different now.
Right.
You know, our great-grandparents were telling their parents, well, times are different now. And then times are different now. So, you know, that's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, times are different. And... but they're not so much different. So, if you hear strange noises in the studio tonight, we have a special guest in the studio tonight.
We sure do.
And his name is Mr. Ezra.
Yes.
And he is a happy little bouncing huge baby pit bull.
Oh, he's so sweet. He's so sweet.
And he belongs to my buddy Skylar, that, you know, you hear us talking about all tonight. And, you know, later on in the show we're gonna, you know, remember them in prayer, as his wife Kiara, her father passed away, and so we're watching Ezra for him.
We're watching their third baby.
Yeah, third baby. And so earlier, Ezra was over here laying beside me snoring, and I was afraid you were going to hear him on the microphone.
Because he kind of sounds like a little pug. He's like...
So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
when all that was happening. You know, there's been a lot of interesting things going on in the news this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the subway. Oh, my gosh, the subway bombings. You know, the shooting. Whatever it was... It has been a week of horror for a lot of people. You know, you still got all those things going on over in Ukraine, and now you got stuff going on at home, and
yeah,
it's just like it never ends. It's like this perpetual cycle.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the Ukraine, I saw something where people are starting to go back into Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm glad that they feel like they can go back home now. But the only thing is now Russia's saying that, you know, they backed off some, but now they're going to come at them again. And I'm like, you know, really?
Yeah.
And I had seen something that said that over 200 children had perished at the hands of Putin's military.
Right.
And that just made me so sad.
Well, you know, It's I don't know. I
just, to me, I don't understand. I mean, war is hell, as it has been quoted many, many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at it from an outside perspective of you're not living in either Russia or Ukraine.
Right.
But you're looking at it as an outsider. I mean, these Ukrainian folks have got some extremely courageous hearts. And, you know, my prayers are always with them and everything. But the fact that Russia is trying to get to Crimea, and yeah, that's like the major goal, is they want to own and have use of Crimea. And that's what this whole thing is about. But now they're talking about how the people in Ukraine are being treated, and it's kind of like comparing it to Hitler and Auschwitz and the Jews. And, you know, here we are at this time of year where Easter's here, and, you know, they're, you know, we're all around the same sort of subject about things happening that are large, that are historic, you know, times, you know, and it's not the same, but it's just like, here it is, Jesus died on the cross for everyone's sins. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we are still huge sinners. I mean, we are still doing things that are against our neighbors, against our fellow man. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. It's so sad, the times that we are living in. It's just, I don't even know how to really put it all into words. I mean,
it feels like history repeats itself, in the sense that it's like somehow the biggest kids on the block have forgotten what it's like to get into a slugfest, so they have to remind themselves of it every, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it any better. I mean, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter what the technology is that we have, or whether it's hand-to-hand combat, or, you know, beating somebody over the head with a rake, or whatever you have, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like we can't seem to learn as a species, as the human race, that war gets us nowhere.
Yeah, and I wish that, you know, there was a point in time where people could just learn to, instead of turning towards so much violence as people have a propensity to do now.
Oh, yes.
I wish that we could just learn to, you know, just all work together.
Well, you know, you mentioned something when we were having a conversation about something completely unrelated, and, you know, you were saying that, you know, that violence is never the answer, that there are better ways to handle things, there, you know, where cooler heads prevail, and, you know, I really think that if we had things happen, but then, you know, thought about how we actually needed to respond, that would mm-hmm. be a much better way. I need to learn that, because I'm the first one that gets like hot-headed about something, and I immediately want justice and answers and whatever.
Right. And I get it. And it's human nature to want to not really lash out, but to make sure that your point and your feelings are heard.
Right. And to feel like someone is listening, because there is a problem that exists.
Yep, definitely. You know, there's some, wow.
That was some ear slapping right there.
Yeah.
That was an ear slapping good time.
I think he just shook himself awake.
Yes, he did. He woke up, and now he's over here like, pet me, pet me.
Oh, my goodness. He's so, you know, something is going on. It's kind of been a big topic here, kind of like, you know, not really a shiny object, but you got people losing their minds over Elon Musk and buying Twitter.
Yes. It is really funny. This story is so ridiculous that people are getting so upset about this.
Well, you know,
it would actually be a better thing.
There's a lot of people. So we're going to talk about Katie Turr a minute. And she works for MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually warned her viewers about the quote-unquote massive life and globe-altering consequences if Musk buys Twitter. Now, she warned viewers on Thursday about the immense consequences that could follow if he buys Twitter.
What, that life will be more fair? People will actually be able to say things that they want to say?
Well, you know, said she, following the announcement, she criticized the move as potentially damaging to social media and how it affects democracy is what she said.
How it affects the left is what she really means.
She said Twitter is very tricky and has a large effect on democracies abroad, but also here, as we saw last year with the insurrection, as we saw in 2016 with the election.
Right.
I think the only one's been tied to Russia pretty much is proven, and there's more court cases coming on that.
Hill the Thrill.
And you know, there are definitely ties with a certain someone's laptop, hard drive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think this is just the next thing that they can throw a hissy fit about.
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing about the laptop is the fact that the liberal media is finally having something to say about it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, up until...
Well, they needed something to try to get their ratings pumped up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, because up till now, everybody's kind of kicked it under the rug and pretended like it didn't happen. And now all of a sudden it has happened.
Oh, yeah. Now it exists.
Because they say it exists. It's now for real.
Yep. Definitely. Hey, you remember a couple weeks ago how there was some talk with the Russian militaries with their flagship?
Yes.
With their ship and and what they were telling the Ukrainian soldiers, you know, that it was a battle they couldn't win and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so now we're finding an interesting story today.
Mm-hmm.
That ship was damaged. They're saying it was damaged in a fire in the armory.
Oh, well.
Ukraine is claiming they shot two missiles at it.
They probably did.
But it sunk.
Oh, that's a little bit more than a fire. That's...
So now they're saying, okay, it sunk, is damaged. But it was because there was a fire in the armory. Yeah, I guess there was one after a missile hit it.
Yeah, I would think that would be kind of, you know, a flammable situation.
So, hey, there was a name that popped up in a news story you probably hadn't heard in a little while.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it looks Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, she is putting together a new television show.
Oh, no.
That deals with God and deals with stories, and she's pulling people together for this new show that I heard about. So I was trying to find that information. I had it, and I have misplaced it.
Oh well. That's... You really don't need to go into it. I mean, Kathy Lee.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, it's a show. Here it is. So she's gathering special guests for personal stories about faith in a new series called The Jesus I Know. And I think that's really good. It's a faith-based series. And she's already sharing, you know, Bible verses and things like that. And now she's taking it a step further with the Jesus I Know, which is streaming on the Fox Nation platform.
Okay.
So if you want to find that, it's called The Jesus I Know, and it's on Fox Nation. There's a lot of really, there's a lot of other Christian based shows on there as well. I mean, it's actually a really good channel. We have it, we watch it, and
that and PureFlix, which we've mentioned before.
Yeah, PureFlix is all Christian based movies
starring Kirk Cameron.
Not just Kirk Cameron. But you only say that because the Left Behind series had Kirk Cameron.
I feel like he pops up at least in a cameo in like every movie.
And then he was also in Fireproof. And you're like, so does every Christian movie have Kirk Cameron?
Maybe so.
No, it doesn't.
I think maybe they might have him pass through in the background, you know.
But you would be surprised at some of the actors that you see on this channel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, Kelly Riley,
mm-hmm.
She plays Beth on Yellowstone, if you're a Yellowstone watcher, which
yep.
we are. And she's been in a couple mm-hmm. of the Christian movies on PureFlix,
yep.
and she's great. You know, I love to watch her.
You know, the $6 Million Man.
Oh.
And the Bionic Woman.
For those of you who remember those shows.
We're showing our age a little bit, man.
Hey, I wanted to be the Bionic Woman and be like...
Well, there's a good story that I ran across, Good Hope and Inspiration. There's a story that's coming out. It says, when God appears, anything is possible. So Amsterdam Christians have a prayer song for the Ukrainians, and has gone viral.
Oh.
And it's very good. It's, you know, we're 3 months into Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And as the world, you know, continues to watch the horrors of everything unfolding, you know, a lot of these people are experiencing heartbreak and continue, but yet they're continuing to mobilize and come together in a show of solidarity. So there's a song for Ukraine from a church in Amsterdam, and it's going viral because of its hope-filled message.
Well, I would imagine the song is probably in Dutch, right?
Yes.
Or German.
Yeah.
One or the other.
But, you know, it's a really good heartfelt story. You can find it on CBN News.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so Christian Bible Network News.
Well, you could probably post the link to that so that.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll put a link to this on our website
tonight. Brand spanking new.
That's right. And there's another interesting story that I want to put on the website that I found very interesting. Because they have, just to kind of dive in a little bit, there are four theories that try to explain away Christ's resurrection and why they don't add up. And there are people that atheists and doubters of Christianity, you know, they're coming up with these far-fetched theories. They even come up with a quote-unquote swoon theory.
Swoon?
Yeah, they're saying there's a swoon theory that wants you to believe instead of dying on the cross, Jesus only passed out and he woke up in the tomb a couple days later and rolled away that huge stone and escaped.
That would be impossible. He would have to be the $6 million man.
But I'm saying, you know, they're...
I mean, really? I mean, I don't mean to make you laugh. But, I mean, nobody could have done that by themselves.
Well, you know, and it's that. I mean, they try to come up with a hallucination theory and all these other theories. And I'm going to put this story on our website because it was really interesting because... One popular idea is that everyone who saw Jesus alive after his death was just hallucinating.
They were all on drugs. They saw Mr. Hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody's on drugs.
But it is a very neat story, and I want to share it on a website. It'll be on ChristianPolitiTalk.com. I'll put it there tonight after the show. And there's also, you know, there's more stories and things on there. And we've been trying to post new things on there. And as it expands, we'll be putting more and more on the website. So, you know, with this week being the Holy Week and moving into Easter, I think it's time we move on to the current, to the big topic for tonight.
Alrighty.
So, the topic that you know, really stuck out with everything is, what if Easter didn't exist? Okay? That would be sad.
It would be very sad.
So, in just a minute, I'm going to share with you from the Word of God, but before I share that, I want to ask you a question.
Me?
Everybody.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I'm not sure.
Have you ever heard of a man named Harry Houdini? Many of us have. Many of us know who he is, and he died in October of 1926. But his claim to fame that he was a magician that specialized in spectacular escapes. And as a matter of fact, he was said to have laughed at locks. They said of Harry that he had the flexibility of an eel. He had the lives of a cat. They did all kinds of things to try to incarcerate him. They sealed him in coffins. He would escape. They riveted him into a boiler. He escaped. They sewed him up in canvas bags. He escaped. They locked him in a milk can and he escaped. They sealed him in a beer barrel and he escaped. They put him in a maximum security prison and old Harry somehow got out. But then in October of 1926, Old Man Death laid his hands on Harry Houdini and put him in a grave. And he is yet to escape. And as a matter of fact, he told his wife, "If there is any way out, I will find it. If there is any way out, I'll make contact with you and we'll do it on the anniversary of my death." So for 10 years, she kept a light burning over his portrait. And at the end of the 10th year, she turned the light out. Death had Harry and he couldn't escape. Now, I tell you that story to bring you to this. Death laid his hands on Jesus as well. It put Jesus in a tomb, and there was a stone in the mouth of that tomb, and the seal of the Roman government was placed upon that tomb. But on the third day, Jesus Christ stirred himself. He rose from the sleep of death, and Jesus Christ passed through the walls of that rock-hewn tomb. And Jesus Christ is alive. He's not behind us in a tomb. He is before us on a throne. But I want to ask you a question. Suppose that had not happened. Suppose death still held Jesus like it does Harry. Then what? What if Easter didn't exist? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. So I'm going to begin with reading in verse 12 and 13, which says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." So what if Easter didn't exist? I'll admit it's a loaded question, much like, what if you were never born? That question is heavy, strong, and loaded. But this question, what if Easter didn't exist, should be considered very carefully. Because the truth is, an entire faith hinges upon this event. Churches today exist because they believe in Easter, in the resurrection. Countless millions of people place their faith in Christ because they believe his resurrection to be true. What would our lives be like if the resurrection never occurred? If Easter didn't exist? So in verses 12-15, it says our message would be powerless. Notice what the Bible says in verse 14. If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Now that's a bold statement. The word vain there means without effect or powerless. Paul says if Easter doesn't exist, then our message is powerless. What is our message? That God loved you so much, he sent Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross. He took your place. What you deserved and paid the price for your sin. He suffered and died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, but he rose again on the third day by the power of Almighty God. He ascended to heaven and now offers victory over sin through the cross, and a victory over death through the resurrection. But if Christ didn't rise, then Easter doesn't exist. And if Easter doesn't exist, our message is powerless. You see, the purpose of preaching is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, but without the resurrection, there's really not that much good news. Think about presenting the gospel without the good news. All you would have left is bad news. Could you imagine sharing with someone that because of their sin, they would now be separated from God for all eternity in hell? A place of fire and brimstone, a place where the worm never dies, the fire is not quenched. Then can you imagine the person coming under conviction for that sin and feeling the full weight of that penalty, and then have them beg you to tell them what they could do to escape the coming wrath of God? If Christ was not resurrected, then all we could say is, hey, good luck with that. So, imagine if I knocked on your door one Saturday afternoon and said, congratulations, you've been selected as the winner of our sweepstakes. I'm pulling an Ed McMahon on you. And you just won $10 million. And now that would be good news. That would be exciting. And after you paid off your debt, you'd still have some money left for yourself. Now you'd be excited for sure. But the only problem is, it's not true. There's no sweepstakes. There's no winner. There's no money. It's all a lie. Now that's pretty awful, isn't it? It's not just a powerless message, but it's a cruel message. But our message is not powerless because Easter does exist. Christ is risen. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Our message is not powerless. I've seen the preaching of the cross change lives, bring men and women to the point of repentance. I've seen drug addicts released, alcoholics give up on booze, marriages restored, prisoners set free from their sin, and hateful people fall in love with Jesus. This message is not powerless. It has the power to change lives, and it has the power to change your life as well. Have you been changed by the risen Christ? So the next thing I want to bring up is our faith would be useless. Paul continues to say if Easter didn't exist or if Christ had not risen, then our faith is in vain. It's the same word used twice. In other words, what good is faith if Christ hasn't risen from the dead? If it never really happened, then your faith is useless. If Christ is not risen, then it's all a myth, and there's no need to follow him with your life. You can live any way you want, act any way you want, do anything you want, say anything you want, and it doesn't matter at all. You see, if Easter didn't exist, our faith wouldn't matter at all. You see, I believe that in every one of us, there's a desire to find something or someone we can trust. Someone, when all seems to be falling apart in our lives, will be there for us. That can help us no matter how bad things get in our lives. And it's just like when we buy something. We want to make sure that we can count on it and trust it. And it to work the way it's supposed to work. When you go buy a car, you're looking for reliability. A car that you know that will carry you and your family safely for years to come. The car company tries to earn your trust by giving you a warranty. The warranty tells you how long and for what extent you can trust them and their product. Some are 3 years, 36,000 miles, while others are 5 years, 50,000 miles, or some are 10 years, 100,000 miles. But the problem is with these warranties is they eventually run out. You can trust them, but only for a period of time. Our relationship with others is the same way. When looking for a husband or a wife, we look for someone who is trustworthy, someone we can trust, someone we know is going to be faithful to us over the course of a lifetime. But even in the best relationships, people fail us. They let us down. I believe that, you know, in the heart of every person, there's a deep longing to be able to completely trust someone. Someone who won't lie to you. Someone who won't let you down. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we cannot trust him with our lives, and we certainly cannot trust him with our eternity. But fortunately for us, Jesus did rise from the dead. Easter does exist. It's real and it's not fake. It's true, not a lie. We can trust him with our lives and live for him. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "The life that I have now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because Christ is risen, you can trust him. You can trust him with your life, your family, friendships, finances, and your future." The next point I want to bring up from verses 17 and 18 is our salvation will be pointless. The Bible tells us in verse 17, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If Easter didn't exist, our salvation would be pointless. In fact, if Easter didn't exist, there would be no such thing as salvation. You see, salvation promises the forgiveness of sins. But the Bible says that if Christ is not risen, we are still in our sin. It's not forgiven. We owe the debt ourselves. Salvation promises a future, a resurrection one day, and a home forever in heaven. But if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we can't expect to be raised from the dead either. You see, a major part of our salvation is the forgiveness of sins and the promise of a resurrection. But if Jesus didn't rise again, then we can't experience this salvation at all. Think about it like this. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are still guilty of our sin before God. If we're still guilty of our sin, if we still owe a debt for our sin, then we cannot have fellowship with God at all. Sin separates us from a holy God. If we are still in our sins, then it means that God is holding our sins against us. To have fellowship with God, our sin must be forgiven. No resurrection, no forgiveness. Now, someone might say, "I thought Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross." And you are right. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." But the resurrection is just as important to our salvation. Romans 4:25 says, "He was handed over on account of our transgressions, and he was raised on account of our justification." The reason that God raised his son from the dead was twofold. It was to vindicate that Jesus was truly innocent of sin and to validate our forgiveness as a demonstration that God had received Christ's sacrifice for our sin. Now, aren't you thankful that Easter does exist? Christ is risen, and as a result of that, salvation is not pointless. In fact, it is absolutely essential and necessary. It's not pointless. It is the point in life. So in verse 19, I want to talk to you about our life would be hopeless. So let's be honest. We want to live our lives to count for something, to matter, and to make a difference. But if Christ had not been raised from the dead, Paul says we are of all people most to be pitied. Why? Because everything we're living for is a lie and it doesn't matter. If Christ is not risen, if Easter doesn't exist, then life is hopeless. And all the things you do in this life for him, they don't matter at all. If Christ had not risen, I've wasted my life living a lie, speaking with you each and every Thursday night for nothing. If Christ had not risen, our life would be hopeless. But Christ did rise from the dead. So instead of being pitied, we should be envied, because the life we live does matter. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." And because Christ rose from the dead, we too should be envied because of the glorious rewards that are awaiting us in the life to come. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For momentary light affliction is produced for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." So, I want to reiterate again. We too should be envied because of the glorious rewards that are waiting for us in life to come. And waiting for something to come, I want to end this up with a little story. A woman was diagnosed with terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. As she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and asked him to come to her house to discuss some of her final wishes. She told him which songs she wanted sung at her funeral service, what scriptures she wanted read, what outfits she wanted to be buried in. She requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. So as this pastor prepared to leave, the woman suddenly remembered something else. "There's one more thing," she said excitedly. "What's that?" said the pastor. "This is important," the woman said. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor just stood looking at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. The woman explained, "In all of my years attending church socials and potluck dinners, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would always lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part of the meal because I knew something better was coming, like chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. So when people see me in a casket with a fork in my hand and they ask, 'What's with the fork?' I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork. The best is yet to come.'" The best is yet to come, folks. That's what Easter is all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's what paying the price for your sins is all about. That's what becoming saved and baptized and living in the Word of God is all about. It's all about that place that has been prepared for you. It's all about your personal relationship with Jesus. It's about knowing him, talking to him, developing a deeper, more personal relationship. You got any comments over there since you've heard it a lot of this now for a second time?
I like it. I love the story with the lady in the fork. When you told that last night, I was like, you know, that's absolutely right, especially if you're from this neck of the woods. You know, everything here in the South really is related around food. Have you ever noticed?
Some of the best, unfortunately, a lot of the best socials you go to are in the South end up being because of a funeral or something like that.
Yeah, know? I was thinking like weddings, graduations, mm-hmm. Baby showers. Birthdays.
And unfortunately, a lot of times funerals and become family reunions as well.
They sure do. I mean, it's like I hate to meet up with you at a time like this, but I'm glad to see you.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, I mean, as Southern folks, everything is related around food and a lot of comfort foods. So, I mean, that's what I think of when you tell that story is I think of, like, you know, a big plate of, like, chicken and dumplings in heaven, well, you know, and keeping my fork for the dessert.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is, you know, I really want people to think about, what if Easter didn't exist? How important these next few days are.
Well, you know, I always think of Easter as a time of renewal. You know, the way that I grew up, every Easter there would be like a renewal of your faith and, you know, a renewal through Christ and, you know, all these different things. And, you know, it's also in springtime. And that's, of course, when everything's coming out of the winter slumber. And, you know, it's beautiful and it's springtime outside. So, you know, even though it is a, you know, we're actually celebrating a death and a resurrection, it is the resurrection that is the most important part.
Yep. Well, every single show, I always tell people it's about your personal relationship.
It is.
And every single show, and it's not going to change. It's never going to change. We invite people to come to Christ. And it's not just the significance of today, tomorrow, or Sunday.
Right.
It's the significance of every day.
Right. Or any day.
And, you know, admit you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from that sin and repenting and believe that Jesus died for you and was buried in that tomb and rose again to pay that price. That's what we've just been talking about. And if you've never asked for your salvation, there's nothing special or secret you have to do. It's just simply pray. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. You don't have to be in front of a congregation. You don't have to have a lot of people around. You can simply say this prayer out loud anywhere you are right now. Just repeat this. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turning from sinning and doing wrong. Right now I believe that Jesus died and rose for me again, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, you know, start getting into the Bible. Start reading. You got to start at the beginning to understand the end. But get involved in a good Bible-based church. Start going to small groups. Start meeting with like-minded people. Start learning. Start growing. Start learning how to pray. Prayer is just talking. Just like I'm doing right now. Just open your heart up to God and just start talking to him. And as I said earlier, beginning of the show, you know, we need to keep Skylar and Kiara and all their family and extended family in prayer for what's going on. And, you know, our oldest, Caitlin, she's got some things going on. We need to keep in prayer with Grandpa and things. And, you know, there's some tough things going on right now. So we just got to remember, surround everyone in prayer. Lift everyone up. Remember what's going on across the world over in Ukraine. Remember there are Christians being brutalized in other countries all over the world.
Yeah, just because Ukraine is going on doesn't mean that anything else has stopped.
Yep, it's going on everywhere. come together in prayer, pray for the government. The Bible says we should pray for our government. We don't have to agree with everything that's going on, but, you know, pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places and that they can develop and learn to build and grow a better relationship with him. Remember to pray for each other. We pray for you guys. Hope you pray for us. We hope you have a very blessed Easter this weekend and a safe Easter. You got any other last thoughts over there tonight?
Just want to tell Skylar and Kiara that Ezra is very happy that he is conked out right now. He is conked.
A little miniature horse.
Yes.
Miniature horse and dog.
He's snoring, so I know he's happy.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us this week and putting up with the extra sound effects here in the studio. It's been a little bit different. But we hope you join us next week. And next week we will be talking about friends and neighbors and enemies and what the Bible says about it, all of it. So we hope you'll join us again. I'm going to leave you with a little commercial here at the end of the show. Tell you how to reach out to us. Don't forget about the new website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. There's a link on there for all of our podcasts, a link for the live shows. There are stories. I'm going to put a couple of these stories in here we were talking about. So we will continue with that as well. But we hope you'll join us next Thursday night. Everybody have a great Easter.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. Again, that's ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. We appreciate you listening and hope you have a blessed week.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted.